The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
It's going to be another busy hour of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Good evening, hello, and welcome. Zach Zaidman, pleased to be joined by Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer, along with former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. And let's get right to the news of the day, and that is the Bears making it official. Devin Hester let the world know yesterday, and today the Bears announcing that they've informed Devin Hester that the team will not be re-signing him for the 2014 season. So after 8 record-breaking seasons, Devin Hester will no longer be a Bear. Tom, you've watched him since day one when he was drafted in 2006 and changed the game in terms of returning in the National Football League. What are your emotions when you start to think about what Devin Hester has meant over the years?
Well, I mean, there's a personal side to it and a business side to it. Personally, I like the commitment that Devin Hester gave the Bears. He wanted to invent himself into a defensive back, into a wide receiver, but then he created a specialty. He created a niche that he was getting Hall of Fame recognition. And I think, like Deion Sanders, he was able to explode the position into an aspect of a team's game where they went out and they tried to find a returner as explosive as Devin Hester because he was a game changer. And all the things that he was able to accomplish, I admire for everything that Devin committed to the game. And then you fast forward up into this stage of the game, there's business, there's financial aspects to the contribution that you have to pay attention to. And is he contributing according to a dollar figure? In the unfortunate side of evaluation of a professional sports, no matter how great you were at one time, the evaluation is as strict as the day they're evaluating you, which is the present day.
And Jim, that's the deal, right? At the end of everything, it's still a business.
Yeah, and I think the game is changing with the emphasis, obviously, on safety and the rules. We know there's no longer, as obviously Tom could talk about, when you used to run down on kickoffs, there's no more wedge. You look at how they've moved the kickoffs. Obviously, they're kicking them into the end zone now, and I think teams are now adjusting and reacting. You think of all the great returners as of late, and certainly Hester leads the charge of the Bears, but say a Josh Cribbs or a Leon Washington, the money's now dedicated at special teams returners. It's minimizing because that position is getting minimized in the game. So I think all those things factor in, and like anything else, it's the business season right now, and hard decisions need to be made. And I think those decisions had to come for Devin Hester, who was a fantastic Bear and certainly one of the best that's ever played that position in terms of returning punts and kickoffs in the National Football League.
You know, when you look at the press release that the Bears sent out today informing the world of what they're doing here, there are two monster paragraphs just detailing all the different things that Devin Hester did in his career that, quite frankly, very few people in the history of the NFL have even been able to think about doing. Let me just read some of them. Hester is the NFL's all-time leader in punt return touchdowns with 13 and total kick return touchdowns with 18, including his 108-yard missed field goal return touchdown. Hester's 19 overall return touchdowns are tied with Hall of Famer Deion Sanders for the most in regular season history. And when adding Hester's 92-yard kickoff return touchdown to open Super Bowl 41, his 20 overall return touchdowns, including the postseason, are an NFL record. And then when you look overall at Bears history, only Walter Payton in the history of the franchise, 94 years and running for the Bears, only Walter Payton has more all-purpose yards than Hester. And considering this guy never had a true position when he was drafted, that's remarkable, guys.
Right, but again, I think, you know, one thing that we don't want to lose here is Dave Tobe. He was a special teams coordinator that did a great job of devising a scheme that fit Devin Hester, and they were going to get the most profits out of the return, take the chances on the long returns, give Devin Hester enough freeway that he would be able to make some decisions when the ball is in the air. And that's the unique thing of Devin's accomplishments. I think it's difficult, and now we talk Joe DeCamillis, the special teams coordinator of the Bears. It's a super difficult job to make sure you're trying to get guys coordinated specifically for those long plays when you have so many interchangeable bodies week in and week out. So, again, I admire Devin for everything that he is able to contribute. But the guys that threw the blocks and put their bodies out in front of Devin, man, they did an awesome job too, and I think they all fit well together at the perfect time.
It'll be interesting to see if there's a niche out there for returners, because as I mentioned, I just think money's allotted to returners. It's not like back in the day where you had like Mel Gray of the Detroit Lions or a Dante Hall of Kansas City. It's just teams are not, you know, giving the monies at that position because it's been de-emphasized in the National Football League. By no fault of Devin Hester's own. I mean, shoot, he probably could have made the Pro Bowl again this year and made his fourth Pro Bowl. They don't even allow it in the Pro Bowl anymore in terms of returners. And I'd also say this, what niche is he going to add a team? Would you put him up there with, say, Ted Ginn of Carolina? Because I think Ted Ginn is a much more polished receiver that adds value to a team. And that, like you said, Devin Hester really hasn't found his niche, whether it's defensive back, receiver. It's strictly been as a returner, which he's been absolutely phenomenal.
You know, Zach, real quickly,
yeah.
You know, the veteran minimum that's required to keep Devin on a roster according to the CBA, you know, that's something that's always going to be looked at. Are you bringing the value of your contribution at this stage of your career? And, you know, it's a great thing that they are able to go out and negotiate a CBA, but sometimes the veteran minimum is so high that
right.
They'd rather take a chance on some other returners that maybe have a little bit of a history, but may have some explosiveness in front of them. So that's an issue that Devin's going to have to maneuver around it for another chance at a team.
Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You guys bring up some great points about the de-emphasis, if you will, of special teams, but is he still a threat? Is there still a place for him? Because there is the fear factor, because you have to be perfect when you let go of the ball as a punter. Even with the kickoff returns, you have to be careful when you let go of that ball, because if you make one mistake, it results in a touchdown.
I know from watching Devin the last few years, if he commits north and south, if he commits to the goal line and tries to run by tacklers that may be a half a body out of position, or they're still being blocked by the protection up in front of them, then Devin is a threat. But if Devin decides to freelance after the catch, whether it's on punts or kickoffs, I don't think he has the explosiveness or the speed to run away from some of the younger guys that they put on special teams because of their great speed. So, Devin, you commit straight ahead, you could still be a threat, but if you decide that you're going to pick and choose your holes, I don't think you're the threat that you once were.
And like most teams, I think once you get on the other side of 30, I mean, we saw it last year in the business season. What did teams like Miami do? They targeted, they put the exodus on guys like Carlos Dansby, who was everybody thought he was washed up, goes out and has a great year for the Arizona Cardinals, or even Kevin Burnett. Remember, they churned the roster by signing Donnell Ellerby and went with Philip Wheeler in terms of younger linebackers when you look at Miami. And I think teams, again, are looking to get younger, and that's Devin is still young. We think it's old at 31 years old, but already we're seeing it this offseason. Teams are letting go the older players, trying to get younger, and those are the guys who are getting the bigger deals right now in the National Football League.
Great point. We have to take our first time out here on Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you. When we come back, there's so many great Devin Hester memories over the years, whether it was that Monday night game in Arizona, whether it was the opening kickoff of Super Bowl 41, the 108-yard missed field goal return against the Giants back in 2006, even this year against the Washington Redskins. All that being said, is there a place in the Hall of Fame for a record-breaking return man like Devin Hester? We discuss next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. A lot to discuss. The Bears busy this week. The biggest news is that they made it official today that they are going in a different direction. They will not be re-signing Devin Hester for this upcoming season, meaning that when free agency starts next week, Devin Hester will be free to sign with another team. He will not be returning to the Bears. And Hester used Twitter today, guys, and he talked about via Twitter how he feels, said that he YouTubed his highlights from 2007 to 2008, and said he almost started crying, can't believe that the Bears are not signing him. But, you know, that's the way it goes in the NFL. You guys had to deal with it. How tough is it when it becomes final, when a team takes that jersey away from you and you know that you're not going to be playing again, or that you have to move to another team when you really like the spot that you were in?
I think if you're fortunate, like Devin or some other players, to have a long-term ordeal with the same team, the same organization, the same franchise, it's a lot harder. When I got cut by the Bears, you stood in front of the cameras, you said, yeah, I appreciate the Bears for everything they offered me, now on to the next level. And you didn't have a bunch of social media outlets either to watch your highlights or continue to talk about the process. Once you walked out of the media room, everything else was behind you. So, you know, it's an odd feeling for everybody. And I don't think anybody that gets released from the team at the age of Devin Hester ever believe they're done. Sometimes it gives them a jolt of confidence. Sometimes it gives them a jolt of that they want to prove everybody in the NFL wrong. But nowadays, the release is talked about more. When we'd get cut back in the days, it was the story on the news, and then it was over. So now there's a prolonged period of time that these guys have to go through of that time of acceptance or unacceptance.
And I just think modern day football is different. I think, you know, it's very rare that you're going to start and end your career with the same team. You know, Peyton Manning, is he ending with the Colts? No, he's out there for the Denver Broncos. If it can happen to Peyton Manning, it can happen to pretty much anybody in the NFL. And again, it's the modern day of it, and it could be injury. It could be due to pay structure and how the CBA is utilized. So the game is just far different business-wise than what it was in the past. And Devin Hester may go on, and who knows, if he breaks the NFL all-time return record. He's currently tied with Deion Sanders, as Tom just mentioned, and he's certainly made his mark in the National Football League and probably hopes it will continue. It just will be at a lesser number that a team can afford.
Counting the postseason, that return in Super Bowl 41 plus the 108-yard missed field goal return against the Giants back in 2006, Devin Hester has 20 return touchdowns, which is an unbelievable thing. The Bears were 13-5 in games in which he had a return touchdown. Is that Hall of Fame worthy?
Well, here's what I'll say. I'll go first, Tom, and maybe you can respond to this. I will say this. If you were to write the history of the NFL, you would have to write it to include, if he breaks the record, and he's the all-time greatest returner that's ever played in the National Football League, I think that needs to be in the Hall of Fame. That would be my opinion. But I will say this, the reality of the situation of the pro football writers that vote for the Hall of Fame or the Hall of Fame voting, they don't look at special teams that way. Look at, you know, Ray Guy, look at all the special teamers or lack thereof in the Hall of Fame. We've talked about field goal kickers. You know, to me, Morton Anderson should be in the game or be in the Hall of Fame. And here's the reason why, when you look at special teamers, because even though they play less plays, because this is the argument of Hall of Fame voters, they say, oh, special teamers only play like six plays a game, when regular players like Tom Thayer's log in 65 to 70 snaps in a ball game. So they don't think special teamers have an impact on the game, when actually they don't look at it correctly. Because who decides a game more than a field goal kicker or a kick returner, which is probably the most electric play in football? Look at Jacoby Jones down there 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. He returns that kickoff. It absolutely deflated the San Francisco 49ers. So I think special teamers have a bigger impact, and the voters just don't look at it that way, because even though they play less snaps, they actually have a greater impact on the game than sometimes normal players. Your thoughts, Tom?
I think Devin Hester, the way that the position is looked at now, he's changed that. They go out and they try to explore that type of talent to come and be on their team. You look at what Devin Hester's done to football. Look at the Auburn-Alabama game this year. In that return of the short field goal, correct?
Right.
And you think of that short, the return of the field goal of Devin Hester against the Giants. To me, that was the most exciting play I saw Devin pull off, because it's not common occurrence. It's something that strangely decided to take one player and put him in a different position that you hope everything works out. And then that what Devin Hester was able to do and interact exactly what everybody imagined, Now it started to be a part of the regular possible planning, like Hail Mary. You know, Jim, we line up and we do Hail Mary every week, every week. How many times do we use it that has meaning in the game? And when you look at what Devin Hester did during his career and the way it's thought about and carried into different games, Devin has a mark of the return game that few people do.
It really is a remarkable thing that he's been able to do. When we come back, guys, we'll talk about the defensive side of the ball because things are becoming a little bit more clearer for the Bears. They're making some moves. And then shortly after 6:30, guys, it's Ask Tom. 312-644-6767. We go 10 minutes rapid fire style. Anything you want to talk about in terms of football, you ask Tom. Best caller in the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority with the new judge, Jim Miller. He did a great job last week. He'll do it again this week. But we talk defense next, including a Bear that is coming back next season. That's ahead on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're about 10 minutes away from playing Ask Tom here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. 312-644-6767 is the phone number, and you guys should call in because Tom really answers everything in regards to football, and the best caller of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of tonight's judge, Jim Miller. I want to remind you to join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. All right, guys, so you know what's interesting is that while all the talk today is about Devin Hester, a move that was made last night hasn't been talked about a lot, but I think it's a big thing going forward heading into the 2014 season, and that is the announcement by the Bears that they've agreed to a 2-year deal with defensive tackle Jeremiah Ratliff, a former Pro Bowl player with the Dallas Cowboys, played a little bit last year with the Bears once the leg started to heal up and was effective, and clearly the Bears liked what he was able to do, and he's one of these guys that can play both a 3-4 or a 4-3 front, which goes in line with what I think the Bears are going to be doing in 2014. Right, Jim?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's position flexibility. And even though we can say 34 front, but there are different types. You can still run 34 under, 34 over, or maybe it's still they just stick with the 40 front and they use, say, more 33 nickel on third and long because Jay Ratliff has played that position. He's more of a speed zero technique. When you think of Jay Ratliff, when he played in a 34 defense, a 3-4 down there for Dallas under Wade Phillips, it was a slanting and stunting 3-4. He wasn't a nose tackle that was taking on, say, the double teams of a center and guard and all those things. They were always slanting and stunting because that's his game. He can move. He's quick. He's a quick twitch type of defensive tackle. So I still think his role is penetrating 3 technique if they run a 40 front. And then if you go to, say, 33 nickel on third and longs, put him over the center and give him a two-way go on a center when normally they're only 5-on-5 in terms of their blocking on third and long. So I think he does provide that in position flexibility and should be 100% healthy, which is good, and that's an added bonus for the Bears.
You know, Jim, last week you decided Dan was the winner of Ask Tom, and he asked a question about Steven Paya. So that probably brings us right to the position as a whole. You mentioned Jeremiah Ratliff is capable of doing anything. He can engage and disengage a center quicker than a lot of other nose guards. He can stunt well with a defensive end. He has a lot of facets to his football game. And that is a key ingredient because I don't think we've seen Jeremiah at 100% yet, which I also think is another key because I think that gave him an opportunity to evaluate himself to see where he will be with a full offseason of training healthy and what he can contribute to the Bears as a team next year. I think his contribution as a force in the locker room, a face of the defensive line, and maybe the ability to mentor some young, talented guys that need some emphasis on technique or the way to act and react inside games. Jeremiah Ratliff is bringing so much to the locker room, so much to the table, that if they are able to capitalize on a healthy body for the next 2 years, he's going to be an asset in a lot of different ways. And because the ability to morph from a 34 defensive lineman to a 4-man defensive lineman, the Bears, they do, it does expand their capabilities of playing anything up front.
Now, guys, the new league year begins on Tuesday at 3:01. At that point, you can begin making trades. You can go out and sign free agents. Phil Emery, in his 2 years as Bears general manager, has wasted no time when the new league year starts. In year one, remember, he made that big trade for Brandon Marshall. And then last year, boy, the Bears were busy at the start of free agency, bringing in Jermon Bushrod, bringing in Martellus Bennett, and really revamping the offense. You guys saw a lot of the different workouts at the combine. When you start to consider what may be available for the Bears at 14, probably guys in the middle at defensive tackle or in the secondary, but maybe not a defensive end, do you think that's what the Bears target immediately at the start of the new year?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I think they're fortunate that they need help at all three levels. If you were only destined at 14 where you had to have success at picking inside three technique defensive tackle, your chances are limited. So if I'm going through the draft, that's why I always said from the beginning this is going to be the most difficult year for the scouts, because at a pick, you have the opportunity to pick all three levels in a starter if they fall into your lap. So that's, to me, Zach, the key is this upcoming draft is to make sure whatever level best player is there at that 14th pick, you're not nailed to only one spot. You have needs at every, you know, safety, corner, linebackers, and D-line.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is we can always talk about best player on the board, and you want them to coincide, meaning your need versus the best player on the board. But if you can go back to last year's draft, and I pointed out that there's only two teams that didn't draft for need, and that would have been Jacksonville, who took Jokel, the tackle, and I don't think tight end was a glaring need for the Cincinnati Bengals. Every other team drafted for need, Zach. So I think, like what Tom's saying, so if there's a good safety there, whether it's Ha-Ha Clinton Dix from Alabama, Deion Washington, or Deion Buchanan, excuse me, is an outstanding safety at Washington State, will be probably be there for the Bears. You got good corners in this draft. If Peanut Tillman elects not to resign, they've already got Tim Jennings and obviously Calvin Hayden coming back of the Bears. Corner, need to get younger there. So there will be opportunities to take good defensive players other than, say, defensive line and getting the pass rush going.
And I think the most interesting part is going to be the way free agency kind of transpires, because
right,
based on who the Bears end up signing, guys, we're going to get a much better idea of locking in on certain positions, I think, heading into the draft, at least in that first round. Even though the last couple of years, I think Phil Emery has surprised us both times with his first round picks, right?
Yes, but I think also the Bears have created a very desirable organization to come to. I think everybody sees the potential of the offense and what it could mean in terms of this offense could be one of the top two or three in the league. And if you want to earn a spot on defense, if you think you're capable of coming in here and getting some free agent recognition that you believe you can come in and contribute immediately as a starter, this is going to be a great destination. There's a lot of good things that are attracted to free agents at this point for the Bears.
It's interesting you bring that up, Tom, because I talked to DeQuell Jackson, obviously a talented linebacker, recently released by the Cleveland Browns, signs with the Indianapolis Colts today. And here was his reasoning after talking to his agent. He said, they've got a quarterback. They're heading in the right direction. It's a good destination of a place you want to be. You know, a team like Cleveland's going to have to overspend in free agency. A team like Oakland is going to have to spend, because they've got a lot of work to do. They haven't even addressed their quarterback position. Bears got the quarterback in place. They've got a good offense in place. They got a clean canvas defensively where they could be a good football team. And then, of course, the city and all the opportunities you have in a great city like Chicago. Very attractive destination, because the Bears have a lot of pieces in the puzzle to win. And I think that's going to be attractive to free agents, where Phil Emery will not have to overspend in free agency to get players to come to Chicago.
Only one team in the NFL scored more points than the Bears last season, and that was the Denver Broncos. No team in the NFC had more points than the Bears. Coming up next, Ask Tom. Line them up. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You have direct access to Tom Thayer, best caller of the segment. When we come back, wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Zach, Jim, and Tom right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Zabeman, Jim Miller with you. Pleased to be joined by Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer. And it is our weekly Ask Tom segment, your opportunity to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. It's real simple. You can ask Tom anything you want about the world of football. He'll answer as detailed as possible. And the best caller of the segment will receive a gift certificate to Sports Authority. The judge tonight will be Jim Miller. So it's not easy, but every single week the callers have gotten better and better. So, guys, I'm pumped up about this segment. Are you, Tom?
Heck yeah, of course I am. They've been great questions every week, and we've given away some good gift certificates. But it's, you know, it's a hard choice because they all have concerns about the Bears.
Yeah, and they have to impress Jim Miller, and Jim's got the...
Which is difficult, yeah.
Yeah, you know, look at him. He's laughing, but...
All rise!
Yeah, he's got the gavel. He's ready to go. All right, let's begin the festivities with Sean in Gurnee. You're on Bears All Access. Ask
hey,
Tom.
Sean. Thank you very much for taking my call, and thank you for your dedication to Chicago, Tom. And My question is this. The impact of the one-year contract, certainly you have an opportunity to pick up a value on a veteran. They obviously are coming in to prove themselves and try and impress the staff so they get an additional contract. But there's two things that concern me about that, and we said there's a lot of opportunity in free agency earlier. One is, how do the rest of the team players view that? I mean, do they feel them as part of the long-term plan, or do they actually get more concerned that this guy might have a great year and bid themselves out and actually go to a competitor? I just want to kind of get an idea of the mindset of, you know, what the team players are thinking, because I've seen us do that with DJ Williams, and here DJ Williams is, I thought he was playing great, and I'm not sure we're going to have him again. Can you help me out and understand what your thoughts are?
It's a good question, Sean. I think, you know, the Bears have gone out there and honestly given veterans an opportunity to come in here and compete. And the way they compete on a daily basis, that's going to be an evaluation of the possibilities of them earning a long-term contract. And I just think with the hiccups they've had with DJ Williams and the injury aspect of his game, it's hard to go and commit long-term at this stage of his career. But again, you may be able to capture fire in a bottle with some of these guys where they get an opportunity. I know Calvin Hayden was injured, but they did give him a contract to come back and be with the Bears because they believe in his future, a lot like Jeremiah Ratliff. If you come in here and go through a strict evaluation process, both of your contributions in the locker room and on the field, and you know the positive atmosphere that you create, these one-time guys can create a long-term opportunity for themselves. But again, that's part of the weeding out process. If you sign a guy to a one-year deal and he's not living up to your expectations for him, he's going to have to go down the road, and that's just the unfortunate business aspect of it.
312-644-6767, the number here to Ask Tom. At stake, a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Steven in Lakeview, ask Tom.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, Tom. Hey, I am a former Spartan and spent the last 3-4 years watching Jarquez Grenard. I think he got better every year, and I think he looked great in a Bears uniform. I think he should be a shutdown stud corner. I want to get thoughts on a guy like Jarquez Grenard, especially since he's a little off the radar from where the Bears were picking. That's kind of been the trend with
He has some size, right?
He does.
Because you know what? I think you're trying to get in good with Jim Miller by asking that question, Steven. So I think you're trying to butter the cup already. Jim, what's the dimensions on that player?
He's a little over, well, just less than 6 foot. So
okay.
Like 5'11 and a half. He is about close to 200 pounds. Probably his biggest knock. Everybody wanted to see his top end speed. Ran a 4.5 down at the combine. Good press man corner. They run a lot of blitz zone at Michigan State, so he's good in zone as well. Excellent tackler, but can do everything. He can blitz, plays man, a good press man guy, and also, but I think in terms of rating the corners, a lot of people have Gilbert rated a little bit higher because he's got better top-end speed in terms of being a straight man corner, and Gilbert's coming out of Oklahoma State. But Jarquez Grenard is all that and a bag of chips.
You know what,
he will go in the first round.
I like reaction and corner evaluation more than I do just attaching a 40 time to him. Because, you know, corners, they're not going to have a steady diet of running straight ahead. How
right.
they come and get out of the break, that's more – I think that's a really strict evaluation process. You have to go with them. So, but, you know, 5'11 plus – and that's what everybody's dream is, to have some cornerbacks that are 6 foot or over. So, you know, I think the Bears, they need some young guys to come in here and compete and are hopefully long-term solutions at the positions.
I didn't realize this was Ask Tom, Answer Jim. But
that was a butter-up question. He's trying to get that gift certificate in the second question. I admire Steven. Good thinking.
Yeah, that's a nice little curveball there. And by the way, you are right about the big corner. Anyone who watched the Super Bowl, you see. And Pete Carroll made this point at the Combine. Yeah, everyone wants the big corner, but there aren't many of those guys
right.
available. So it makes it very difficult.
Well,
and if a guy like that pops up, you got to think about taking him, right?
What I thought was interesting is that this year's Senior Bowl, they specifically had the safeties play corner. They tried them out during the practices because every team, every GM, every coach wanted to see it to model what Seattle's doing. I mentioned Deion Buchanan, the kid, talented cornerback, or safety, I should say, coming out of Washington State. He's 6 foot, 216 pounds, and busted a 4.440. So,
you know, if you have pressure that's less than 3 seconds, there's a lot more – there's people that are more talented to play the position. If you have a limited pass rush that's giving the quarterback more than 3.2 seconds, it's going to be difficult for even the greatest guys to play corner.
We continue with Ask Tom at 312-644-6767 here on Bears All Access. Best caller of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority to Hammond, Indiana. Chris, Ask Tom.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, how's it going, Tom?
Good.
So I'm sad about what's going on with Devin Hester, and I knew it was going to happen. What I want to know is do you think that with the talent that he had coming into the league, you know, I look at guys like Cobb, and I look at guys, you know, like Percy Harvin, and what other offenses have been able to do with him. Do you think that Devin Hester's prime years were wasted on the offenses that he's been in since he's been here? And do you think that if Trestman were to get a guy like Hester, he would ever just have him be a return special?
That's a good question, Chris, because, you know, when I – playing with a guy like Dennis Gentry was, you know, kind of turned into a real asset at as a third down back. He could catch the ball out of the backfield. He could run draws and traps and those types of things. I think maybe Devin Hester, if he did have a niche to possibly be that third down back, to be a weapon that you could devise some schemes for him. So, yeah, but, you know, it's like any time. During the course of your career, you got to be at the crossroads at the right time with the coach that can really cultivate your talent. And, you know, Devin, it was a question mark as much as it was an obvious that he was a great returner and he was great with the football in his hands. But then you had to try to figure out how to get the ball into Devin's hands and making sure he's a part of the scheme and not just somebody you recognize when he runs out in the field.
Time for our last caller here in the Ask Tom segment. We go to Chris at Midway. Chris, Ask Tom.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you, Chris. Hey, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, but if we lose McCown in free agency and it leaves us dangerously thin at quarterback once again with an inexperienced backup, what do you think if Mark Sanchez is released from the Jets is to pick up is they have a veteran presence back up behind Jay who maybe with the new team gets a new start with Trestman as well as he's taught Cutler. He may be able to pull the better part out of Sanchez.
You know, I agree with you, Chris. I agree that if Mark Trestman finds the quarterback that's mentally committed to learning the system, that he can turn a quarterback that's had a questionable past into a great quarterback. And I say this with all due respect to Josh McCown, because when Josh had all those years in the NFL, he wasn't as highly thought of as he was after 1 year with Mark Trestman. And so that's the key ingredient here. If Mark goes out there and is allowed to evaluate the mind of a player, and his mind is as dedicated as his body, I think that he can cultivate some quarterbacks into better quarterbacks. But you know, let's let Jim help with that one. Jim, what do you think about the quarterback scenario with Mark Trestman if it's not Josh McCown?
No, I agree with you. I think, one, he's looking for a heady, cerebral player. But let's be honest, I don't think they're going to dedicate $5 million to that position. You know, it's probably going to be in the $2 to $2.5 to $3 million range. And Josh McCown, to me, is going to command more than that. And I'm with you. I think Mark Trestman can get the most out of the quarterback. You just look at his history up there in Canada, and you look at what he's done already first year for the Chicago Bears and all the weapons that a quarterback has around him there for the Chicago Bears. So, again, it's nice to have a veteran free agent, but the number's got to be there, and it's got to be the right number. And unfortunately, guys like Matt Cassel, who's out there in a free agent market, I think Josh McCown, I think they can command $4.5 to $5 million, and I just do not see the Bears committing that type of money to their backup quarterback situation.
All right,
good to be a QB.
Jim, you're on the spot here, not just a former QB, but a current judge here on the Ask Tom segment on Bears All Access. So who's the winner?
I'm going to go with Sean and Gurney because he talked about the impact of one-year contracts. And again, it's whether you call it a rental league right now, because of the salary cap only being $133 million, I think players are taking the one-year deals because they're going to bet on themselves, hoping that they can cash in next year in free agency. So I like Sean's question from Gurney.
Very good.
Sean from Gurney wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority for his fabulous question here on Ask Tom. We got to take a time out. When we come back, a lot more football talk. And by the way, yes, I like Sean from Gurney's question, but the breakdown of the big cornerbacks, courtesy of Stephen from Lakeview and his question, guys, man, that was awesome. That's as good as it gets here on Bears All Access with Jim Miller and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. More to come on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score alongside former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. We talked a lot about Devin Hester earlier in the show, but there was another move made this week in regards to special teams, the Bears letting go of punter Adam Podlish. We knew that there was going to be a wide-open competition at the position, but Podlish is not included in that competition. What are the Bears looking for out of the punting position?
Oh, hang time, position punter. Make sure you can hang it towards the sideline to put the return in the most difficult position to better your chances of limiting the return. There's a lot of requirements on the punter nowadays because it's not only line up in the middle of the field, banging in a spiral style as far as you can. Now you have to have that rugby-style punt that puts it up high in the sky where you limit the return of some of the explosive guys. And, again, the position punting. You know, you can't go out there and shank a 25-yard punt when you need it placed inside the numbers and the sideline to limit the return. And that's going to be the constant challenge of every punter, every snap they receive throughout their career. So even though Adam has been released, it doesn't mean the next competition for punter is going to be any less pressurized.
Jim, when you look overall at what the NFL is considering in regards to special teams, a big topic of conversation has been getting rid of the extra point or changing how teams go about it and making it maybe a 43-yard kick. And some of the veteran kickers in the league not happy about this. You know, I heard Adam Vinatieri talking about it earlier today, and he says that what you're doing is penalizing the kickers for being really good at something in the game. And then the other thing that he pointed out is it's just going to change the whole way the game is played because now you're going to see a lot less extra points and teams are going to go for two-point conversions because depending on the conditions, it's not easy to kick a 43-yard field goal.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I know there's been criticism of is the play too automatic because the kickers are so good. And I would also say this, due to the added safety concerns of the game, how is moving it back to the 42-yard field goal, how is that making the game any safer? Now, does that put kickers at risk because defenders are now going to rush, putting on more of a rush? Do they dive into the kickers? I've seen guys blow out their ACLs that way in terms of kickers. So I don't think it adds anything to the safety of the game. And, you know, if you move it back there, that now takes the two-point play out of the equation. No team's going to go for it on, you know, have a trick play at that point. So I think, one, again, when you get down to the realities of it, when the owners meet down at the owners' meetings next month, in Orlando, Florida, there are too many traditionalists of the game. Are we changing the game too much? The McCaskies, the Rooneys, throw in the Hunt family, the Maras, the Tishes. We could go on. The Brown family. I just don't think they'll get enough votes to get it passed. It'll be shelved, and they'll continue to maybe come up with more scenarios. And that's normally what the league does. They throw it out there, try to get the feedback from it, and that's what we're getting right now. But I do not think it'll pass, nor will be approved by the NFL owners.
From your time watching games, Tom, and even playing, you know, I can't believe I haven't asked you this to this point. What would you like to see changed? You know, I know what they've been talking about publicly, but if you had an opportunity to sit with the competition committee and they asked you, hey, Tom, what do you think we should do to enhance NFL football? What would you tell them?
Stop playing games in Europe and then enhance, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a question because I'm a purist of the game also. And I think, you know, even though the consistency of making the extra points is at such a great rate that you want to change the competition of the specific play. And I don't see the use in that. But I don't know. If there's a safety concern that can take out the possibility of a player getting hurt for the long haul, then I can discuss that. But I think when you start getting too many rule changes and too many changes of the game, then you're trying to leave too big of a footprint of your legacy of it when you're in control of the league. And I don't know. I just think there's so many things discussed. If let safety be an issue, don't change the game as basic as the extra point.
Let me throw out this hypothetical, Tom, because I know you'll probably appreciate this as a former player. What if a game comes down to that extra point? And now you as a team, and I've talked about how kickers can have a huge impact on a game. Now the game comes down to where you need to make that extra point from 42 yards, and the field goal kicker misses it. You know, so you as a player are coming down, and you like Tom playing 65 snaps a game. I would hate as a player to come down and the game to be decided by that because they've changed the rules.
Right, on a extra point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you got to win it under the worst of conditions in a field goal, I think like Robbie did in Baltimore this year against the Ravens this year, that's one thing. But just because they want the rules changes of making, not only was your accomplishment of making the touchdown enough, now they got to challenge you with the extra point because it used to be the work effort to make the touchdown. It's not the work effort to make the extra point. So I don't agree with letting that be the deciding factor for no real practical reasons. And like you mentioned, it doesn't make anything any safer because the corner guys are going to be coming a lot harder. And if they don't have a kicker that elevates the ball quickly, they're going to rush hard in the middle.
And before I say goodbye here, I had an opportunity to talk with longtime Bears center Olin Krutz the other day. Just about his entire career, and now that he's had a little bit of time to reflect upon retirement, you know, with the whole Dolphins issue that took place earlier in the offseason, I asked him, and Jim, you were in that locker room with Olin Krutz, and mm-hmm. you talked to most of his teammates, they will tell you, by far and away, undisputed locker room leader, a guy who knew how to push the right way to make sure that everyone was on their best come Sunday. But I asked him, you know, was there ever a time where you felt you went too far? And the point that he brought up that maybe didn't exist in Miami is that there was a chain of command with the Bears, no matter who was the coach, whether it was Dick Geron, whether it was Lovie Smith, depending on the general managers too, that he could never go too far, but he was able to go far enough to get the point across. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's always checks and balances, and there are other teammates that'll step up and say, hey, man, you've gone too far. And that, you know, and Olin, I played with him. He was gruff in a lot of ways. Enjoyed him as a teammate. Loved to have him on your team. But you always have to have those avenues in place, whether it's the coach, whether it's the player development coach. And I think that was not utilized down there in that Miami Dolphins locker room.
Jim, great stuff. Tom, thank you so much. We're out of time here. We'll continue it next week. For executive producer Greg Miller, Herb Lawrence, and Joe Ostrowski, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks so much for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.